Ladies and gentlemen, let's enjoy live on WBGO, Grant Green's Evolution of Funk. Thank you. We like to take you back. We like to take you way back. And some of you may know way back, like Little Anthony, right? And the Imperials. Hurt so bad after that, now you know why Mellencamp said it hurt so good. Don't you? And they're celebrating it all this week live at Jazz Standard in New York City. It's Grant Green's Evolution of Funk. And we want to welcome everybody, our listeners, and these wonderful musicians to WBGO, Grant Green Jr.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you for coming, man.
Oh, thanks for having us. We were having a great time.
Opening night was last night at Jazz Standard. How was it?
Oh, man, we had some fun. It was the first time this unit got to play together, and it was a lot of fun, man. We had some magic moments up there.
You can tell. Magic moments. For you, a sense memory that goes all the way back to St. Louis with your daddy at a time when you probably remember, and I know your father does, Gaslight Square.
I remember Gaslight Square. I think they toured Gaslight Square down in the 60s. I think that's when they actually, removed it. Why they did it, we'll never know. But it was where all the greats played. It was like the village of St. Louis. You know, they had jazz clubs there, and like you said, they had the blues and rock clubs there, and everybody was there. It was a wonderful place, and unfortunately it's gone now, but that's where all the greats played.
See, and I'm going to say that perhaps that informs the sense memory of somebody like Grant Green, mm-hmm. who can certainly enjoy and emulate somebody like Charlie Parker. Listen to those clean lines, the way Grant Green played guitar. You know where that came from, don't you? Not necessarily a guitar player, but maybe a horn player. But at the same time, you've got him doing Little Anthony and the Imperials. You've got James Brown. You've got a medley on one of these new records coming out. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. That kind of covers a whole lot of rhythm and blues bases. Right, right. The funk evolution. How did that take place for your dad?
Well, I remember my dad always liked the funky stuff. He used to listen to James Brown, and when I was a kid, he was always listening to these pop stations, and he would, you know, like, play it for me. I remember one time, I'll never forget it, he played the theme for the Monsters. Remember the Monsters movie? And I thought that was the coolest thing, him playing the theme for the Monsters for me, you know what I mean? But he always listened to a lot of stuff. What a lot of people don't realize is that pop tunes, you know, are back in the day, pop tunes were back in the day, those same tunes that we call jazz standards were pop tunes. You know, all that stuff, Cherokee, all that stuff was where they were pop tunes back in the day.
See, and good music is good music. Like, for example, if you're Donald Harrison, you take all these different things and you put them together and you come out with the nouveau swing, right? Because there are no walls, man.
That cat is just a bad cat.
We're going to talk to him in a little bit later on.
I've been stealing from him. I'm stealing riffs from him right now.
And you know what he's doing now? He's composing classical for classical musicians to pay tribute to jazz folk, but in the classical vein. We'll talk to him about that. Some wonderful musicians are with us this morning. Grant Green Jr. and your good friends, what are you going to play for us next?
We're going to do a number entitled Cease the Bombing.
Oh.
From that same era.
Yeah, let's hear it. We continue at WBGO with Grant Green's Evolution of Funk. Thank you. Oh, man. Shouldn't be allowed to have this much fun this early in the morning, guys. Once again, that's the way you get the message across. And in the 1960s, the music was the message for a lot of people. That's how we got the message across. That's how we came together. That's how we became united. Even for somebody like Grant Green, cease the bombing. Cease the bombing. And nobody had to raise their voice. They just had to raise the spirit of the room. And that's what's going on here this morning. And that's what went on for somebody like Grant Green. And that's why somebody like Herbie Hancock, somebody like Joe Henderson, somebody like McCoy Tyner wanted Grant Green to be part of their records. But we're not looking at a museum piece here, because that's why somebody like Wu-Tang Clan, that's why somebody like Tribe Called Quest, that's why somebody who's going to be on the cover of Vanity Fair magazine on July the 7th, we're talking about today, Kendrick Lamar. That's what we're talking about. All influenced by Grant Green. And that's why we bring you here this morning and we talk about the evolution of funk, which is going on at Jazz Standard in New York City. These guys are having such a good time. Grant Green Jr. and his friends. How'd you pick these friends, man?
Well, me and Kyrie have been working together for a while now. Kyrie was with Indy Irie, and he was, I think, her musical director. And we got together in Atlanta, and you know, it's just one of those cats. You just love this cat. He's a, you know, solid player and just a great guy. So I wanted to have him on a gig. Me and Donald, we've known each other for a while, and we did the Detroit Jazz Festival together, and we did with Purdy and Ruben, and yeah, and we did we played in San Francisco. We did get a lot of gigs. I love Donald's my man. So
see, and that's another one of your incarnations, the Masters of Groove, right? With Purdy
and Purdy and Ruben. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Mike. You know, I've known Mike for years. I think first time me and Mike played together was at Smoke in the 90s, I think. It was at Smoke. So I've known all these guys for a lot. Me and Mark were on the same record label. You know what I mean? And, you know, and I was glad that I was able to get Mark and me, you know, because he's also such a wonderful player, man, and just... You know, I was just lucky that these guys were available and I was able to get these guys together to do this.
See, and I got to tell you something, too. This is a band that your daddy would have been proud to be in himself, wouldn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I almost channeled him to get this band together.
I mean, when I saw Mike this morning, you know, he says, I got my shirt on. I'm ready. You know, and actual proof of what he's about, go pick up some Herbie and the Headhunters, man, and check it out. And then you try to do that shuffle the way he did. And he told me a story. He said they'd get going so fast on actual proof that Herbie'd look around and go, Where are we?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, that's the thing. When you do those tunes live, the energy is different than when you're in the studio. feeding off, you're getting that energy from the audience too. You know what I mean? So it'll definitely push you.
But see, now your daddy could play, even you know, even on Slick. You know, one of these two new recordings that's out from the mid-70s now. This is when the evolution, if you will, was kind of complete for your dad in terms of the funky style. But what's the first track on the record? The first track is a Charlie Parker track.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, he loved all type of music. You know what I mean? And that was the thing about him. And I, you know, that is something that he, you know, he taught me is to listen to everything. And he did. You know what I mean? And just like these cats, you know what I mean? You know, these cats listen to it all. And I think that's what music is all about.
Yeah, well, and it's part of your environment, isn't it? Everything, and you can't close your eyes, you can't close your ears to your environment, because every day something, if you're good at it, is going to inform the next move that you make. And for you, it might have been in Detroit, the next door neighbors. Stevie Wonder's parents lived next door, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true. Stevie Wonder's parents was my next door neighbors. I remember going to a Stevie Wonder concert. I'll never forget this. And we were on stage, me and his brother Timothy, because Timothy used to be was a drummer at the time. And we were on the stage. I remember the song "Higher Ground." He's playing "Higher Ground." People keep on trying to do it. And we're back there, you know, checking him out, and then Stevie sent his guys on, and they pulled us on stage and put tambourines in our hands. And, you know, as a kid, I was terrified, because all of a sudden I'm in front of all these people and stuff. I was like, oh, man, wow, what is this?
It brought you right back home, though, didn't it? You know, the other day was actually the anniversary, 1963. Little Stevie Wonder and Fingertips Part 2 made its debut. Right. And I was living in Michigan at the time, outside of Detroit, Royal Oak. Okay. And my daddy grew up in Ferndale. But I saw Little Stevie Wonder on a flatbed truck at a mall on Southfield Avenue in 1963, the summer of 63.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's where Motown was. I mean, that's where everything was back then. You know, you see these guys environments back then you would never see now. But Motown, those guys at Motown, they had that review. You know what I mean? So you might see Stevie Wonder, you might see Martha Reeves, the Vandellas, the Temps. You know, I mean, at that time, I was fortunate to kind of grow up between Detroit and New York. And Detroit taught me a lot about, you know, the funky R&B thing, you know what I mean? And it really taught me. Marvin Gaye used to live down the street from us and on Otter Drive. And this is a funny story, too, because he always wanted to be a football player. A lot of people don't know that. And, you know, the kids would be out there playing football, and you'll see him peeking out the window, watching us, and then the next thing you know, he's out there, and he got to be the quarterback. You know what I mean? But as kids, we didn't care. We didn't care nothing about them being. We was going to hit him like we hit everybody else. You know what I mean? But you know, he loved that. You know what I mean? He loved it. So it was an interesting time and era back then when the music scene was really, really great in Detroit.
See, and it was great because Berry Gordy was a jazz fan too. Exactly. You know, and a lot of those players that made that music the way it was, those hits, they were jazz players that he recruited in. Yeah. And so it was, once again, you're talking about No Walls. You know, your good friend Betty LeVette was in this very room not that long ago talking about Detroit and about the Motor City and about everything going on. Mm-hmm. And it all kind of informs what was and what is Grant Green's evolution of funk. And that's what we're here this morning on WBGO celebrating. We're going to talk about these two new releases with the guy responsible, outside of Grant, of course, putting this stuff together, Zev Feldman. Masterful job. But first, what are you going to play for us next?
What are we going to do? Let's do A Day in the Life, guys. Want to do that?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, he did a whole record of Lennon and McCartney, didn't he? Yeah. Once again, folks, welcome at Grant Green Jr. and Donald Harrison and Mark Carey and Mike Clark and Kari Cabral Simmons to WBGO.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
How about that, folks? You know, this is one of the reasons why you support WBGO with your hard-earned contributions, because we get to do special stuff like this. This morning, we're celebrating Grant Green's Evolution of Funk. Say hello to Mark Carey on the organ and on the piano, doing double duty. He can do triple duty if you ask him, right? On the bass, Kari Cabral Simmons. On the drums, he brought his shirt and his sense of rhythm like nobody else, Mike Clark. And from the Crescent City, but yet from all around the world, Donald Harrison on the saxophone and Grant Green Jr. on the guitar, celebrating the evolution of funk. My name is Gary Walker, and just like these guys, I woke up, got out of bed, dragged a comb across my head. You tell that didn't take long. And I got down here this morning because I knew these guys were going to come down and make some special music. Some special music celebrating Grant Green. But we're not done, because just like Grant Green's catalog, you know, Grant Green's first sessions came out after Grant Green's first stand. And such was the case of a very prolific guitarist. Much of his output did not even come out until after he was gone. And some celebration continues with two masterful recordings, one a double set captured in France and the other captured in Vancouver. And we're lucky enough this morning to have the producer of these wonderful packages with us. Zev Feldman is with Resonance Records, and he's with himself, and he's here this morning to talk about these recordings. Come on out here. Thank you for coming, for starters.
Wow, this is great. Yeah. Funk on a Friday morning here at WBGO. Love this.
Funk on a Friday morning. Hold these two records up. You're quite proud of these.
I am. These are the first new previously unissued recordings of Grant Green to come out in over 10 years. And Resonance Records is honored to be able to contribute to the legacy of the great Grant Green. And this has been like a whole dream realized, Gary, getting a chance to work on these projects. And Grant Jr. was in the front seat with us the entire process.
Why did you choose Grant Green of all the people you could have chosen?
Well, he's such an important figure in this music, and his legacy still continues to inspire new generations of fans. He transcends genres. You can't just put him in one genre of music. You know, he played, you know, straight ahead jazz, organ trio, Latin. You know, as the great Bob Porter said in his book, Soul Jazz, Grant Green was a chameleon. And in 1969, Gary, he recorded an album called Carrying On. And Grant Green really started getting on the off-ramp, going in a different direction in his music, which was funk. And, you know, he really started incorporating these elements into his music and inspiring others, and he was fusing these audiences. It's incredible. So I've been working with the great folks at ENA in France, which is the French government. They have the radio and television archives there, and we found these recordings, a trio recording from a concert in 1969 at the Maison de Radio in France. And then we also found, they just happened to have these tape reels. I said, do you have anything else? He said, Zev, we have these two sets of music complete from the 1970 Antibes Jazz Festival. And they hadn't even been digitized. And we all of a sudden, this music came out. And then last summer, and that became the album Funk in France, which is two albums in one. And then last summer, I'm with the great producer, a hero of mine and a mentor, Michael Cascuna. And he said, Zev, you know, I've got this CD that a guy sent me years ago. We never put it out, but you should check it out. And it was from a recording engineer named Gary Barclay from Vancouver. And he had recorded Grant Green, recorded in a club called Oil Can Harry's. And, you know, at Resonance, I went back to my boss and I said, George Klabin, we've done such great stuff for the music. This is the time right now to be celebrating Grant Green. And you know what? I say we put out two of these productions at once. Let's promote them together and really help celebrate. They tie in. This is the early, Funk in France are the earliest known live recordings in his entire discography. And Slick are the last live recordings he made officially in his discography.
And this one here, especially Slick, really speaks to the chameleon that Bob Porter refers to, because this set, as we were talking earlier, opens with a Charlie Parker riff, but it closes with a riff made up of Stanley Clarke, the Ohio Players, Bobby Womack, Stevie Wonder, and the OJs, all on one tune, right? Absolutely. Now, you can't change colors any faster than that, right? The Lizard can't even do it. Right?
That's true. But that really demonstrates his genius and really being tuned in with what people were listening to. And you know what? What he enjoyed listening to. He was just really had a wide palate and interest in music. And, you know, it was amazing. In the process, we had a chance to listen to this interview that Grant did with DJ Gary Barclay. We've actually transcribed it. It's in the notes. And you can watch a video on YouTube called Evolution of the Funk. And you can hear Grant talking with Gary Barclay. And it's just moving. And you listen to the compassion and you get to hear Grant. But you know, make no bones about it. This guy had an open mind, was into music, and he was a master musician, and he was evolving and growing as a musician. And he was just something so inspiring about him to me. And I'm just really grateful to WBGO for having us today to celebrate him. And I want to thank the whole guys in the band here that got up early this morning to come here. And of course, everyone from Jazz Standard, including especially Seth Abramson, for making it possible. We are here in New York this week celebrating Grant Green's legacy, and his music lives on and inspires people today.
And one of the things that is important about these two sets is the packaging itself, because there's interviews with Dr. Lonnie Smith, who talks about his good friend. Grant Green Jr. talks about, you know, what it was like to be playing the guitar, and Daddy's idea of a lesson was to come in and look at him and go, "That ain't no good." Right? Right? And walk out. And that was the lesson. And he thought, "Oh, damn, man, I gotta ramp up here." So back to the shed. You know, but you really get a feel for the guy that you're talking about if you're one of these people that still likes to read. Do we have people who still like to read? Yeah, we do. We do. But you know, that kind of chameleon-like thing, I wanna segue over here to Donald Harrison real quick, who's doing some stuff in the classical vein with composing classical music for classical players to celebrate jazz players.
Yeah, it was incredible that some French saxophonists thought that I had there because of my affiliation with understanding some of what Sidney Bechet did to write a concerto, a classical concerto, based off the style of Sidney Bechet. So I'm doing that now, and a number of other things. I'm also working on a piece for Ron Carter that incorporates some of the things that he's done on the bass that are so innovative that I'd like to see challenge some of the classical basses and cellists in that world. Just mixing all kind of stuff together, but also writing from a classical perspective as well.
Donald Harrison, keeping the music alive and keeping it in the moment, and yet another great one from Detroit. Right? Ferndale, just like my daddy, born in Ferndale, Michigan. I hope you have enjoyed this morning, folks. It is ongoing. It is perpetual. The kind of thing we do at WBGO, thanks to your support at 1-800-499-9246 and wbgo.org/support. I want to thank once again on the bass, Kari Cabral Simmons. Thank you, sir, for coming down. Wow. Hold your applause to the end now. On the piano and the keys and the organ, we want to thank Mark Carey for coming by. Thank you so much, sir. We look for more down the roads from you. on the drums, my good friend, Mike Clark. Keep them rhythms coming, man. Keep them coming. And Donald Harrison from the Crescent City, but all around the world, man. Thank you for your presence in this music. And Grant Green Jr., as always, this is the first time we've met, man, and I hope you'll come back and hang with us again and play, and maybe next time you won't have to get up so damn early.
Yeah, if you can make it around 10 or 11, that'd be great.
We'll make sure the next one's a brunch. What are you going to take us out with?
What do you guys want to do? What you wanna go? Let's do Ain't It Funky now. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Little James Brown going to take us to Rhonda Hamilton. Midday Jazz coming next. You're listening to WBGO Newark, your jazz station.
Thank you. Thank you.